what you need to know. Good times. That's the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, what you need to know is that Mark Davis has an agreement with Tom Brady, guys. His business partner after Brady bought an ownership stake in the WNBA's
Las Vegas Aces.
Yes. And we just dropped.
We did?
Woo, we dropped.
Really? I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear
no,
it.
No, now we're back. We're back. Okay.
And we're back.
And we're back.
So Tom Brady.
So as I was saying, Tom Brady, he bought a ownership stake in the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces. Davis and the Aces made the announcement just about an hour and a half ago. It's not Brady's first dive into the ownership side of sports because, as we recently discussed, he's also one of several prominent athletes to buy a stake in a professional pickleball team back in October. And that team's going to play later in 2023.
You know, one of the gentlemen who was at our pickleball tournament this past week is here, and he was just telling me that LeBron James's professional pickleball team is playing Drew Brees' professional pickleball team this weekend. So Brady's into pickleball, and now Brady is into a WNBA team in Vegas.
Yep.
And did you say that Mark Davis, it's Davis's Aces?
Yep.
Davis Aces.
Yeah, Mark Davis is the owner of the Las Vegas Aces.
Yep. How's that? How's that possible?
What do you mean that's possible? He's bought the team a while back.
How's that possible?
Maybe. He doesn't have a lot of faith in Jimmy G, and he's trying to, like, cozy up to
him.
The
WNBA team valuations are he's got money for that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much?
They're not that expensive.
It's not like an NBA team.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but...
Yeah.
By the way, food here?
Out of control. I picked at the Glizzy.
Okay, and?
It was delicious.
Dude.
I had a little pork belly.
Cheesesteaks. I'm eating cheesesteaks, but no bread.
Yeah, me too.
God, it feels so much better.
I haven't eaten any bread yet.
Feels so much better not to have bread.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Bread is good.
Because, I mean, it looks so good, and it's got that cheesesteak, and it's, like, soft, the bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. All right, that is what you need to know. All right. So, Cappy.
Yes, sir.
This morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Oh, here's that delicious shake.
Wow.
There's a little bit of it. I'll have a couple sips.
I don't want any near me because I'll eat it. I'll eat the whole thing.
Oh, I already had a whole milkshake earlier.
I will have
earlier.
The whole thing.
I am good.
Like, I would eat this whole thick. Glizzy right here, this 3,000-calorie glizzy. I'd eat that whole thing. Pork belly all over it, green sauce, white sauce, jalapenos. I'd take that big old glizzy down.
It's good. The milkshake is good.
I think so.
I just had a couple sips.
Cappy, next time we're here when you're not on a diet, because you know you kind of go back and forth with it, we should have like a glizzy eating contest.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah. The glizz off.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that idea. I like the name.
Who can take down one of these big old things?
Yeah. You could, clearly.
I think so.
So anyway.
Yeah, J. Will.
So J. Will this morning. So everyone's talking about, let's talk about the game a little bit. So Austin Reeves was incredible. Anthony Davis, second half. You saw the AD you want to see.
That's it.
Mark Jackson, as we were talking about during crosstalk, was like in the first half going, I need to see more AD. AD needs to get more involved. AD needs to do more. And then in that second half, he went bonkers. Now, I talked to AD after the game, and he was like, he just said, listen, I got to do what the team needs. The team needed me. I needed to go in there and make things happen. Now we got more food. We got more meats.
Man. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, there's those steaks.
Oh, my God. Bro. Tomahawk steaks.
Bro.
Tomahawk steaks.
Take pictures of that stuff.
Chef Ruben, are you for real right now? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Tomahawk steaks all chopped up. Oh, my God.
And then there's their, like, ribs over here. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. What is this, Chef Ruben?
Probably we give Chef Ruben a headset so that people can hear.
Yeah, Chef, just come spend a second here.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, Chef, you're live on the radio. Everybody in Los Angeles is listening. How you doing, Chef? Yeah.
What is this delicious food you brought us?
So we have some tomahawk steaks here.
Yeah.
You know, we have a few sides that come with it, that choices, right? Coleslaw, we have our cheesy corn, our baked beans, our potato salad, mac and cheese, and our seasoned fries.
Oh, looks delicious.
Wow, tomahawk steaks. Are you for real?
I mean, when that steak is done, I'm going to take that bone and I'm going to hit him over the head with it.
Dude, I'm having some of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm having some of that. Good thing I didn't get myself too full with the glizzy.
Thank you, Chef.
There you go. There you go. Let me know.
Okay, Chef Ruben.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sure,
Chef Ruben.
We'll let you know how delicious it is in a moment.
Awesome. Thank you.
Chef Ruben.
So, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max today, they were talking about Austin Reeves because Austin Reeves was balling out, right? Austin Reeves has had 35 points two games ago, 25 and 11 yesterday, career high in assists yesterday.
But you know what else, George? It's that he's a story now.
Right.
Because Austin Reeves, you know, he's a Midwestern kind of guy who's, you know, All effort, all the time.
Small town in Arkansas with 1,100 people population.
Undrafted, free agent, early in his career.
Yeah.
And let's face it.
Yeah.
He's taken on LeBron. He's taken on what the team needs in LeBron's absence.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were to have said to you early in the season, Austin Reeves is going to be able to pick it up in the LeBron role.
I would have said maybe for like a game here or there.
No, but
maybe. He's having like a game of his life, which is possible. And he's a talented kid, but not what I've seen in back-to-back games. And honestly, it's more than back-to-back games. If you really go back since LeBron's been hurt, he has put up good numbers across the board.
Nobody would have ever expected this kid to be doing what he's doing.
He is, first of all, a fine Rob Pelinka, Joey and Jesse Buss, who also help do the scouting for the Lakers and the scouting department. The Lakers have done for many years a nice job of finding these diamonds in the rough and drafting, etc. So I want to give them their proper due in that regard, because I get accused of not giving them their proper due.
Well, what are you saying? Every squirrel finds a nut every now and again? Is that what you're saying now?
On the contrary. I'm saying they do a really good job in this area.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that's what you were saying.
No,
sometimes, you know, the compliment thing.
The complete opposite. Oh. No, I'm not you doing the thing you did to Travis.
Well, I was trying to give him a compliment.
Yeah. Not really. But they do a really good job these diamonds in a rough. Talking about you, obviously. The Lakers do a good job of that. So Rob Pelinka and Jesse and Joey Buss, everybody deserves a lot of credit there. Austin Reeves continues to be one of those guys. So now the question is, they got into the conversation on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max about, well, what do you do when LeBron comes back? And J. Will, who, again, I love J. Will, but J. Will had, let's just call it, a unique perspective on this.
Well, do you respect J. Williams?
Of course I respect J. Williams.
Why so?
Because he was an incredible point guard in college, was a number two, I believe, draft pick behind Yao Ming.
Okay.
Would have had a budding NBA career and blossoming NBA career had he not had a tragic accident.
Okay, so you respect him as an analyst.
I respect him as a basketball person.
Because he's a basketball person.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just wanted to establish you respect J. Williams.
Of course I respect him.
Okay, and now we're going to hear what he said.
Right. Go ahead, Laura, play what he said this morning.
Everybody keeps saying, I wanted to set it first, right? Until I started digging down into it. Well, if you bring back LeBron, this team can get potentially to the Western Conference Finals. How do you bring back LeBron? Like, the more I sit there and think about it, the more I think about when you bring back LeBron in this short period, how in the hell is Austin Reeves supposed to continue to play at this level? The ball's in Austin Reeves' hands a ton. You guys know the kind of lather, the kind of rhythm that you get when the ball's in your hand. You increase the amount of possessions, the volume of possessions. I feel way more comfortable with the rock now. When LeBron comes back, and Austin Reeves has been balling. D'Lo has been balling, right? But now you bring LeBron James back. Are you going to play LeBron James off the ball?
Okay, so he's basically asking, what do you do with LeBron James because Austin Reeves is playing so well?
Yeah, what he's saying is Austin Reeves right now is better than LeBron James.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, that's not what he's saying. See, this is the thing that I'm sure if he was listening would annoy him.
Why?
Because that's not what he's saying.
It's the way I heard it.
Again, this thing with you and the interpretation.
I mean, listen, George, all I hear is this. Hey, LeBron James been hurt. LeBron James hadn't been able to play with this group of guys. LeBron James has been out, but this kid's been balling. I mean, he's really playing well.
Has a chance to have the ball in his hand.
Right. So now what you're going to do is you're going to take from him when he's on fire to accommodate LeBron James. And what Jason Williams is saying is right now.
Jay.
Okay, Jay Williams.
Yes.
The other guy was Jason Williams.
Yeah.
Jay Will is saying, tight like that, this kid right here, Austin Reeves, right now with this team, he's better than LeBron.
No.
That's what he's saying.
He's not what he's saying. What else do we have here? Oh, my gosh. Spring rolls?
Spring rolls. It's just the food never stops here.
So
it never stops.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he's saying. But here's what I would say. Reasonable people can disagree. And I'm not just talking about you at this point.
I was wondering, are you reasonable?
You're not very reasonable.
Me?
Yeah, let's be honest. But with Jay Williams, what I would say is, you know how you fix that? You just give the ball to LeBron. Because last time I checked, LeBron is still the better ball handler. LeBron is still the guy that makes more plays for himself and for others at that position. And Austin Reeves adjusts to LeBron.
Well, I think, again,
I mean, would we be having this conversation? I mean, I don't even, like, in all honesty, like I was kind of like, I get what he's saying, because what he's trying to say is, how do you maximize Austin Reeves when LeBron comes back? That's really the conversation he's trying to have. Mm. But the way it's phrased allows for interpretations by dolts like you to say what you just said.
Brad, let me tell you something else I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Here's what else I hear.
What
Jay
do you
Williams
hear? What
saying.
Else do you hear?
You ready? Hey, look, so when LeBron comes back and everybody has to get out of LeBron's way because you just got to give LeBron the ball and listen to what he says.
No, not what the...
So when that happens, now instead of playing like a team, it's everybody's playing for LeBron rather than LeBron coming back and reintegrating himself into the team.
What is this thing of you playing for LeBron? LeBron is has been one of the most altruistic players on the court since Magic Johnson. Like, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about what Jay Williams was saying.
No, that's not what Jay Williams
said. That's exactly
saying.
What Jay Williams
no,
said.
Not.
Precisely.
Oh, my gosh.
He said it. I didn't say it.
I'm going to call Jay Williams.
Call him. Get him on the show.
It's late on the East Coast.
So what? He can handle it.
He's got a little
kid. He knows what he said.
Baby.
He knows what he said.
Not going to bother him. But, I don't believe that. But I would just say that the answer to that question is you put LeBron James where he's supposed to go and Austin Reeves figures it out from there. I don't think there's any question.
Well, a guy.
And
who,
by the way, I bet you Austin Reeves would have the same response.
Well, of course he would. Of course he would. But a guy who you said that you respected.
I do respect
as a basketball
man. But doesn't
man.
Mean I can. I have to agree with him.
Guy's got a qualified opinion.
Okay, but a lot of people have qualified opinions about a lot of things, and that doesn't mean I have to agree with them every step of the way. I don't have to be in lock and step every single syllable.
Okay. Jay Williams thinks that Austin Reeves is better than LeBron James.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
You're such a dope.
It's true.
All right, coming up next, we'll continue this discussion. And Sam Darnold, USC zone, could he have new life with the San Francisco 49ers? We'll tell you what the GM there said in just a moment. We're here at Yamava hanging out. Stick around. We're back in a couple minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, man, because I love this tomahawk steak. Holy moly. Incredible. We already had one. We already split it up amongst a bunch of people, yes. But thank you. But this tomahawk steak.
The food here is just.
Out of control. You got to come to Yamava just for the food.
Hey, by the way.
By the way, I did see, you know who's coming here, Laura? One of your favorite acts. I saw this on the drive-in. You know who?
Maluma.
Maluma, yeah?
I know.
Maluma.
I said, hey, King, to Cappy like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, let me know, girl. Yeah, hey, listen, Darren Collison is coming out here today, the former UCLA star, guy who played for just about every NBA basketball team there is. He got a lot of perspective.
Didn't play for that many NBA teams.
Played for 4 or 5 teams, a guy.
I mean, it's Indiana. Well, New Orleans was drafted, traded to Indiana. Yeah, I guess Clippers sack, and back to Indiana. It wasn't that many teams.
Anyway, you know, Darren Collison was on a UCLA team back in 2006. I think he was a freshman.
Yeah, Ben Howland was the coach, I believe.
Right, and he backed up a guy named Jordan Farmar.
Mm-hmm.
And so Darren was on this team that played in an all-time UCLA classic in the tournament against Gonzaga.
Right, they were down 17.
And Adam Morrison from Gonzaga, the kid who had the really ridiculous mustache.
Right.
That guy was like sitting on the ground like crying.
Yeah.
You know? Now what's interesting about that game is there's also a very famous call. We'll play it for you later in the show.
Yeah, it was our boy Gus.
Gus Johnson going crazy. And he says, you know, Farmar, last chance to dance. And it's Farmar and Morrison both on the floor together. Morrison for Gonzaga, Farmar for UCLA. And if a little bit of research that happened today on the Cappy cast, I'll give credit where credit is due. Do you realize that Jordan Farmar and Adam Morrison then became NBA champions together?
Yeah, they were on the Lakers.
Both 2009 and 2010.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Against Orlando and Boston. I know you know.
Yeah.
Smart
you asked
guy.
Me the question.
I
though.
Know, but it was semi-rhetorical.
Oh, well, you should have said that.
I know you know. You have a photographic memory when it comes to basketball. You told us that.
Yeah. Well, and apparently some other stuff, too, because I told you who Steve McNair was sitting behind.
Which was very impressive.
Yeah.
Chris Chandler and some
Fuhrer.
Other guy. Who? Will Fuhrer.
Yeah.
Will Fuhrer. Very good. Anyway, how's that for a story? You know, UCLA 2006, that classic game. UCLA fans know what I'm talking about.
This steak is incredible.
The tomahawk steak is out of control.
Tommy, get some of that.
The baked beans, which I am intentionally eating right now.
Are you going to fart it up later?
A little bit later on.
Yeah.
I got something for you. Anyway, the food here is incredible. Darren Collison's coming out.
Right.
And Monday,
yeah.
Championship Monday, April 3rd, you and me back here again.
Yeah.
And I'll wait until tomorrow to announce our special guest for Championship Monday.
Okay, sounds good. Now, Linz, speaking of championship-level teams, the Niners, John Lynch, the general manager, apparently is much higher on Sam Darnold than I think some other teams have been recently, right?
Yes, it said, what did he, Sam Darnold, of course, obviously now he's with San Francisco.
He was with the Carolina Panthers recently, but he says Sam Darnold is craving what we could provide, which is basically a stable organization. He went to the Jets, which is, I mean, let's face it, they're the Jets, and Carolina, who hasn't been a bad organization, but they were certainly in a strange kind of weird rebuild, even though I don't put them in the category of bad organization.
No, but Sam Darnold, everybody ridicules what happens at the Jets. Sam Darnold was a first-round pick, I think a number one overall pick, or number two, something like that.
He was like a top three pick.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then they go and they get Zach Wilson.
Right.
They don't know what they're doing when it comes to drafting quarterbacks.
Right.
Sam Darnold, we are all cheering for this guy because he's a Southern California kid and
right.
a kid who played at SC, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're all rooting for the guy, and it didn't work out in Carolina either. Now you go to San Francisco. You're still only like 24, 25 years old, Sam Darnold. You're a young guy. You got a lot of football ahead of you.
I agree.
I have a question, though.
Real quick, San Francisco presents an opportunity because Brock Purdy, they do not know if he's going to be ready for the start of training camp.
Right, and Trey Lance is also hurt.
And Trey Lance is also hurt.
Right.
And they let Jimmy Garoppolo go.
Right.
Without exaggeration, Sam Darnold should be thinking to himself right now, I literally could be the starting quarterback of the 49ers this year.
A team that can go to the Super Bowl.
And I just need to not relinquish the job. Let me never give them a chance to take me off the field.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen.
But why was Sam Darnold looked at as a stability when he couldn't, you know, he was all over the place in Carolina on and off the field.
But the story is that John Lynch is saying that the Niners could provide stability for Sam Darnold.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's all he needs maybe in his life is not this disaster, right?
That makes sense.
If Sam Darnold is a quarterback of the 49ers and Brock Purdy's your backup quarterback, you'd say, in the natural order of real football, that's how it's supposed to go. He's a first-round pick. He's the seventh-round guy, Mr. Irrelevant. You know, Trey Lance, nobody ever knew if that guy was ever going to be able to play. But they drafted him on the notion that he had, you ready for this, upside potential.
Right, and what Lynch says is that when we were looking for a quarterback potentially that year, and we looked at him. We looked at him hard. We liked him then. We couldn't trade up to get there, but he says he's craving what we could provide, a structure on offense that's tailor-made for his skill set, and that's what he's bought into. And he says they're very excited about having Sam as their guy.
Tell you right now, you got Sam Darnold, you got Trey Lance, two first-round draft choices, and then you got Mr. Irrelevant.
Right.
Two of the three guys are hurt.
Right.
The one guy is craving what they got, which is a real coach and a real offensive mind, and to your point, organizational stability.
Right.
You know what? I'm rooting for Sam Darnold.
Listen, there was a guy – and Raider fans remember this name, Rich Gannon.
Yep.
Who traveled around the league for a little bit, right? Minnesota, Kansas City, eventually lands the Raiders. Years into his career, I'm not saying he's going to have the same Darnold, but I'm just saying, like, this can happen occasionally where a guy who was supposed to be better than he was supposed to be early in his career eventually falls into. Vinny Testaverde is another perfect example of that. Listen. Vinny Testaverde is actually a better example because Rich Gannon was not a top three pick. Vinny Testaverde was the number one pick in the draft, went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they were the worst organization, not just in football, but you'll know this, in sports.
Yeah. In all of sports.
Okay.
But there's lots of examples. You know, you look at a guy like Trent Green, who was a seventh-round draft choice, who winds up becoming a starting quarterback, and if it wasn't for Trent Green getting hurt, we probably don't know who Kurt Warner is today. And a lot of those guys really didn't actually become what they became until they were like in their late 20s, early 30s.
Right.
So Sam Darnold
is still young.
He got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah. He is still very young, in my opinion. Did you see this Ozzie Newsome story about Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, about how the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson and, you know, giving him the guaranteed contract and what this has done to football?
Well, no. What he said...
Then
what,
no, I didn't.
I mean, it has something to do with that, but that's not actually how it's heard.
We have the audio.
Okay, so where was he? Where was he talking?
He was on the Bernie Kosar podcast.
Oh, Bernie Kosar.
Cleveland
Browns, great. Yeah, Cleveland Alert. Yes. All right, play the clip of Ozzie Newsome, Ravens GM there, Laura.
Well, you know what? I'm always about this. Every club has to do what they have to do with contracts, with drafting. You know, I got enough problems dealing with this club that, you know what, I can't, you know, I don't worry about what other people do. But, you know, our owner, you know, did say that, you know, that contract did create some problems.
Yeah,
now, what we have to figure out, is that going to be the norm or is that an outlier? And we don't know.
So, Ozzie Newsome, no longer the GM. He retired of the Ravens, but he was their longtime GM, really created the standard that they have there. And he's basically saying that when Deshaun Watson got that contract, that Steve Bisciotti was like, oh, no.
Right.
This could be problematic for us.
Right.
Is this an outlier? Is this going to be the norm? So, what he's telling you is he's been thinking about this for a couple of years.
Of course.
But here's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
If I were – now, the stories have already come out that Lamar Jackson doesn't necessarily want a fully guaranteed deal. But what I would say this. If I were Lamar Jackson, you know what? You want to do this? You want to role play?
Go ahead. All right. You're Lamar Jackson?
I'll be Lamar Jackson.
Who am I?
Because I'm representing myself.
Okay.
Me, you know, him and – me and mom. But yeah. I'll just speak for myself in this game.
Am I the owner of the Ravens?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Steve Bisciotti.
Bisciotti.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. Lamar, how are you?
So I want to talk about my contract negotiation.
Before you do, I want to tell you, I freaking love your hair, man.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. So let's talk about the contract. So what's your big issue?
Look, Lamar, this moron over here who owns the Cleveland Browns,
yeah,
he gave this kid, Deshaun Watson, a guaranteed contract.
Mr. Haslam.
Yeah, he was that desperate, and he did it.
Right.
And that's not the way the NFL works.
Right.
Okay, so we don't fully guarantee contracts, and the main reason we don't do it is because guys get hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And so you really don't have incentive to come back and play necessarily when everything's guaranteed.
Well, Mr. Bisciotti, what I would say is, you know, like in life, things evolve, and we can't always do things the way it used to be done because if not, we'd never have evolution, basically, within our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I understand evolution, and I understand, like, the history of it all and, you know, the sort of the biblical side and then the scientific side. I mean,
well,
I understand
and just naturally,
evolution.
Right? Like, things evolve. Oh. Right? Technology evolves.
Not in the NFL. We make up the rules as we go along, kid.
Yeah, but I don't think we can do that. So here's what I would say. You know what my biggest issue is?
Tell me, Lamar.
Is that they gave Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed deal, and I know you don't love that, right?
No, I don't.
So the way I look at it is this. Before, a year before they gave Deshaun Watson that deal, I was the MVP of the league. You remember that?
I do. Congratulations. Mazel tov. That was a great year.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had a chance to extend me then.
Yeah.
And at that point, there hadn't been a fully guaranteed deal, and you didn't do it.
That's right.
You guys chose not to extend me.
That is true.
So because you chose not to extend me, then my contract expired, and now I'm at market. So, and in between there, Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed deal. So had you probably paid me after I won the MVP and extended me then before this fully guaranteed deal, you'd be in a better position. We'd all be happy, and we'd all be singing Kumbaya together.
I don't think that'd be the case. I actually think you'd be coming back to me now after this fully guaranteed contract saying, you know what? I know we had just got a new contract.
Wow, is that what you think of me?
And I'll tell you something else I think about you.
Yeah.
I think that you were healthy enough to play for us in the postseason this year, and you chose not to come back as a protest.
Wow,
so
that's
guess
really
what?
Disrespectful,
well,
sir.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is, perhaps. But you know what? Quarterbacks are a dime a dozen.
Are they a dime a dozen?
They are. They get replaced all the time.
Yeah?
They do.
How many of those actually win MVPs and win championships?
Well, we haven't exactly won a championship yet. You see what I'm saying?
Right, but I have an MVP, and we've been on the cusp of winning
and
a championship.
4 years ago, and you keep getting hurt.
Yeah.
So
that was
look,
not 4 years ago.
It was 2019, wasn't it?
It was not four. I mean, it's been three.
All right,
it's been
three
two seasons removed.
All I'm saying is this. I love you, kid.
Yeah.
I think you're great. I love your mom. I think she's awesome. I have nothing but respect for you for being able to negotiate your own deal.
Yeah.
But you're not getting a fully guaranteed contract from me.
I don't. What if I don't want a fully guaranteed contract, but you're still offering me only $140 million guaranteed, which, by the way, is less than what the Giants gave Daniel Jones. Do you think I'm better than Daniel Jones?
I do.
Okay, then you should pay me better than Daniel Jones.
I agree. But I don't like what's going on here. I don't like the fact that you protested last season.
How do you know I protested? What are you talking about? I was hurt.
I don't believe that.
Okay, well, then we're done here.
Yeah,
how about just trade me?
Doesn't Well, I don't have to really trade you.
Okay, well, I'm not going to play for you then.
That's fine.
Yeah, because maybe, you're just being completely disrespectful now.
Wow, what about you to me?
No.
You're being disrespectful to me. I own this team. You work for me.
So what? I don't work for anybody anymore. I'm a free agent.
Oh, all right. Well, good luck.
All right, see you later.
That has been another edition of Sedano and Cap Theater. And yeah. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. I mean, we really bring it to life. That is what is happening behind closed doors.
I mean, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
That is, like, almost to the T what is happening.
You know, listen. And maybe sometimes you need someone who can be a good mediator, right?
Don't I know it.
Thanks, Christopher.
I'm not going to Meadowlark.
You know, I also really like the name Blair, and I don't really have an issue like Blair guy, Blair girl. Like I have a friend Blair Golden. Shout out to you, girl. Sells houses up in Calabasas, and I got my boy Blair Cannon down in San Diego, South LA. You know, he's a dude who swam from Catalina to LA. You want to swim 28 miles?
That's a long way.
Yeah, you told me about this dude.
Yeah, but there are two names of Blair, guy and a girl. I love the name Blair.
There's a lot of
well, Blair Underwood, right? LA Law.
That's correct.
Yeah, remember that? You like that show?
I don't watch L.A. Law. I haven't in a really long time.
Corbin Burnson?
Yeah.
He was also in Major League. He was the third baseman.
That's right.
Roger Dorn?
Very good. Again, photographic memory.
Mm-hmm.
This steak that we're having is called a machete steak.
It's delicious.
Machete steak.
Machete.
I can't
machete?
Have enough.
Machete? Machete steak.
I can't have enough of this.
It is unbelievable.
Oh,
my steak
God.
Here at Yamava.
So good.
Machete.
It's not even on the menu yet. It's on the menu next month.
Oh, really? At Pines at the steakhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. All right, Linz, go ahead.
All right, so MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred set out new rules to teams that could get bat boys and bat girls fired for being too slow. A memo distributed to MLB teams yesterday said, in part, quote, new standards will be enforced for bat boys and bat girls whose ability to quickly retrieve equipment will help efforts to speed up the game. The league, of course, is going to now evaluate the bat boys and bat girls' performances, and they're going to ask teams to replace them if their performance is considered substandard.
Right.
What?
Do you agree with Rob Manfred making this a new rule? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Aren't these just kids? I'm swiping left. Aren't they like teenagers, basically?
Yes.
What are we doing here? Like, speeding up, the rules about speeding up the game, I'm totally fine on, but it's like crazy. Oh, by the way, can we pause here? Kansas State, Michigan State, 82-80, Kansas State, 27 seconds to go, three-pointer on the way, no good for Kansas State. Rebound Michigan State here, Cappy. This game's coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Michigan State can take the lead or tie. They call timeout. All right, so Tom Izzo wants to talk this thing over. 19.7 seconds to go. The madness is continuing. Kansas State is the 3 seed, has a 2-point lead against the 7 seed, Michigan State. We got Big 12 versus Big 10 here.
Very good. Very, very good job, George.
Go ahead, Linz.
Well, here, Lindsay, let me jump in here and say this. So, Major League Baseball wants their game to move faster. If the ball boys and ball girls are slowing down that process, fire these little punks, okay? Get rid of them.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Let me tell you what's wrong with
me. That's a terrible idea.
Let me tell you what you do. You go to all those kids who are at Wimbledon, and you know those kids that go and they grab
the
balls?
Balls? Yeah,
right, because they're standing down by the net, and then somebody got to go grab those balls, and you go and you grab them. Those kids are fast at Wimbledon.
They are fast.
So if you need to fire the ball boy or the ball girl.
Go hire the ones from Wimbledon?
Go get the Wimbledon ball boys.
I mean, that's kind of far in London. What about the kids like the U.S. Open here?
Well, you know what? Have a ball boy, ball girl, like, draft. You know, have a
combine. Yeah.
You know, have a full-on combine for these kids. And if you can't cut it, hey, listen, this is pro sports, baby.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. My dad is probably listening. If he is, shout out to you, Dad.
My dad
was a ball boy for the Cleveland Indians when they were still the Cleveland Indians. And he said that how he got that job was by writing in an essay to the team about why he wants to be the ball boy, bat boy, whatever they called him back then. And he won it 3 years in a row. And those are some of, like, the most cherished memories of his life. But he got it based on an essay.
But he was probably good. He was probably pretty good at it, though.
I mean, I'm sure he was if they kept picking him. But still, like, I mean, these kids are just retrieving bats and fly balls.
Kids.
Like, what?
You ever think that maybe nobody else wrote an essay other than your father and that's why he won it 3 years in a row?
I mean, that's a possibility,
man,
but I doubt it. It was published
possible,
in the newspaper, which back then everybody read that.
Okay, well.
Just saying.
Look, if the ball boy and ball girl aren't doing the job, this is pro sports. This isn't the minor leagues. This isn't single A. This isn't independent ball.
So you're saying that they need to go through, like, the minor leagues before they get to the majors?
That's exactly right.
These ball kids?
There's a gentleman sitting right over here, George, at Yamava, who's a CIF football official.
Yeah.
Okay? And this gentleman is trying to...
The guy with the glasses?
No, the guy with the cool hat.
Yeah,
the glasses. That guy's trying to become an NFL official. He's working his way up the ladder.
Yeah.
Why do ball boys and ball girls not have to work their way up? Because they're ball boys and ball girls. They're kids. Ooh, they're so sweet. They're kids. I had kids. If my kid was a bad ball boy, fire him.
Cappy, I would not want to be on your team if you were, like, in a volunteer as a coach. You know, to kids, like,
well, I benched my daughter
team.
In the fourth quarter of a game. So
benched his own kid.
Woof.
He's way worse than I am.
I feel like you'd do that too, Cappy.
Yeah, if they're not performing, got to teach them.
Yeah, but a ball boy and ball girl are not essential to the game.
Right, and therefore they should not be seen or slow the game down.
All right.
How many times does that happen, though?
I don't know.
You see on, like, the spring training videos where, like, the girls out in the outfield are taking their good old time.
I really don't know.
I don't think it has any effect on the game anyway.
I'd like to be on the committee to evaluate them, though. I'll tell you that right now.
You should. You should ask for that. Write into
that
them.
Steak was
write
delicious.
Them an essay.
Delicious, right?
You know there's a calzone here with chicken on it.
Yeah, chicken and garlic. Garlic chicken. I can't have the carbs.
I'm going to have a little bit of that. That's the only carb I'm really going to have.
I can't have that.
I did have two French fries, though.
You did have a sip of a milkshake. I'm monitoring.
Oh, sip. I've had a sip of the milkshake.
I'm not even touching it.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Can I whack you guys over the head with this bone from the steak?
Yeah, what about it? You want to take it home to Chewy?
No.
No, are you crazy?
I want to whack you over the head with it.
Yeah. Why?
So I can finish Radio Tinder.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Linz.
Okay, so the SEC, which is the Securities and Exchange Commission, announced charges today against 8 celebrities for illegally promoting Bitcoin, TRX, and other types of cryptocurrency without disclosing that they were paid for it. So among those celebrities were Lindsay Lohan, Jake Paul, Akon, Lil Yachty, and adult film star Kendra Lust. They were all among the big names who agreed to pay a $400,000 settlement for their involvement in a shady crypto scheme. Will we ever see celebrities promote any type of crypto or NFTs ever again? Swipe left or swipe right?
Yeah, I think swipe right. I think you will. It's just a matter of if you just say, hey, yeah, I'm a paid endorser. I mean, when I'm sitting here, look, now I've said this on the air. I don't take on a lot of endorsements. When I take on the people that I take on, I need to know them personally. Cappy's the same way, where it's like Jacob and Ronnie and I, we're good. We text all the time. We talk all the time. Same thing with Honest Abe from Fullerton Ford, the Tequila Mandala guys and I. You can ask Jason Roberts, one of our sales guys. Before I met them, I said, I want to have dinner with them. Forget about the product. I just want to meet them as people first. So I think that if you're going to endorse something, people should know clearly you're getting paid for it. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable to ask.
But if I'm a celebrity, I'm Tom Brady or Giselle or anybody else that got caught up in that whole NXT thing. Is that what it's called? NXT?
FTX.
Right? Like the wrestling league?
FTX.
NXT is the wrestling
FTX,
league.
What's the name of this
FTX,
thing?
FTX, yes.
FTX? All right.
That's just one of the few that there was a shady situation.
Listen, I endorsed the product. I put my name out there. I was connected to it. By the way, I was getting paid in cryptocurrency. And you know what? It turned into a disaster. So I'll still endorse your product, but I want to get paid in real cash.
Yeah. By the way, Michigan State, we missed it while we were talking about this. Tied the game. They're now going into overtime. Kansas State, Michigan State, starting off OT right now, tied at 82. The 3 versus the 7.
Very nice job, George. Yep. Very nice. Way to keep us all up to speed.
All right, what's next?
Do we have time for one more, Laura?
Yeah, we got time for one more.
Okay. Yeah. All right, this is a little controversial, but I feel like it's very interesting. More than 1 million California students could get access to condoms at school with no questions asked. Under a bill introduced this year, students in California would have access to them to prevent and reduce unintended pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. The law would also prohibit retail establishments from refusing to sell condoms to customers based on their age. Obviously, they say that allowing kids to have free condoms in schools is one of the most effective ways to get the contraception into the hands of the people who need it the most. Is this a good idea? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
Ooh. Is this a good idea?
It's an easy one for me.
So I've got 3 daughters, and I really don't want anybody, like, going near them, but I understand the reality of the situation.
What's the kid's name with Julia? Nick the Stick.
Nick the Stick. Also, if I can throw in a caveat, they said that all of their research shows that providing free condoms does not increase sexual activity.
Correct.
Okay.
So basically it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I know it is. That's right.
So you might as well, if you're going to do it, you might as well protect yourself.
Right.
Not just from pregnancy, but from STDs.
Do you want to be a grandpa yet?
No, I don't. I don't.
I feel like you as grandpa will be just hilarious.
I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to be an awesome grandfather, but I need about 10 more years before I'm ready for any of that. You know what I'm
saying? Fair enough.
So I'm pro contraception.
Yeah.
I'm not anti the school giving it to them. It's just a little like, gosh, really? Like, you don't have to ask any questions. Like when little Johnny walks into my office and he goes, yo, Mr. Kaplan, can I get one of them condoms? Why? No. It's no questions asked. I know, but who you with? You know, like, I wouldn't help.
Because you're a gossip.
Yeah.
That's
a yenta.
You're a yenta.
Yeah.
They're going to have dispensers in the school.
I'm going to swipe right. Listen, I was just going to cite the study you cited. It doesn't make them more promiscuous. It literally is just there for protection. And that's what they need from pregnancy, especially at that age. And certainly from STDs. Like, it's no.
There's a machine?
Yeah, that's what they
do. It's like a dispenser.
Because my daughter created this thing in her school. I'll brag for a second. Where there's like female products in like a vending machine in her school.
Right.
Well, those are in every female, like women's bathrooms.
Yeah. Well, she did this at her school. What can
Good
I tell
for her.
You?
Yeah, they passed a law, I think, last year where they're free in like every public women's restrooms now in this whole state. Yeah.
Big three by Michigan State. They take an 87-84 lead with 3:20 to go in overtime against Kansas State. An upset brewing right now, the 7 versus the 3.
The promotions department here at 710 has gone completely crazy on the machete steak.
Yeah, as right? they should. I told them, go get it.
They've decided they are taking this thing down.
Oh, I didn't even see Crypto Ray is here.
Yeah, he is.
There he is.
Very athletic guy, Crypto Ray.
Brave the elements. He braved the elements.
A very athletic guy.
Yeah.
Crypto Ray.
Yeah. I'd say, are we done, Linz?
Yeah, we are done with Radio Tinder.
We're going to get the Calzone next. We're going to get in there. You just got to take it. We got to take a break. All right, coming up next, Balake.
Oh, nice.
We're going to talk Dodger baseball and a little bit of Angel baseball, too, because of the World Baseball Classic.
Okay.
With Blake Harris, our Dodger insider. He joins us next from Yamala. Walking down the street, pretty woman.
You just had the calzone, but you didn't eat the bread. I'm impressed. How was it?
A little piece just to taste it.
How was it?
The bread is delicious.
Yeah, dude.
It's why it's so dangerous. So I had the chicken inside, the garlic mixed in there. The spinach, the tomatoes, the cheese.
How's your breath right now with the garlic? Because Darren Collison's coming. You going to gas him down or what?
It's fine. I got this.
The shake's going to get rid of it, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody carrying any gum? You are? All right,
I do. I have in my backpack.
Gotcha.
But anyway, when I ripped a piece of the crust, the calzone crust. Oh.
See?
But I just did a little piece just to taste what it would. And it's because it's got all the goodness inside.
I know.
You know, like
soaked in
the garlic, all of it, the spinach, the tomato. Oh, it tastes delicious.
All right, I'm going to have a piece then. But I'm going to do it the way you did. I have not had any carbs.
Pick it out.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at all my carbs sitting there.
That's it. That's all. I've had that and 2 French fries. Well, and I had an egg roll.
Okay.
But egg roll, I mean, the carb is very thin. Not like
my little cheat so far today has been the baked beans.
Oh, and I had this. I had like, what am I had this?
I've almost milkshake.
I've had like 2/3 or 1/3 of the milkshake. Yeah.
Baked beans were on fire.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's carbs.
It is. And there was probably some kind of honey or something sweet in there.
Yeah.
Plus there was like half a pig of bacon.
Right. The food has been incredible. Come to Yamava. You're going to eat. You're going to eat well.
And we're going to be here again on April 3rd, Monday, for Championship Monday.
Right.
And I'm not going to say it today. I'll say it tomorrow, who our special guest is for Championship Monday.
Right.
Now, tomorrow, are you off tomorrow?
I'm gone, yeah.
You're gone. You're out of here.
Yep.
And you're off all next week.
I'll see you on Championship Monday.
So, tomorrow, I'm working with Andy Kamenetsky.
Mm-hmm.
On AK. Monday, I'm working with Beto Duran, BD.
Yeah.
Then I think Tuesday with Beto Duran.
Yeah.
Then I think Wednesday, there's a Laker game.
Yeah.
Thursday.
There's 2 Laker games in there.
Yeah.
Beto's here all the days we have shows.
Okay, Beto Duran.
Yeah, Beto Duran, tomorrow AK, and then Beto Duran when there's no Laker game.
See, Beto Duran and myself had mimosas before the pickleball event, George. Now, I don't know if you know that I drank a mimosa before the pickleball event.
Yeah.
And if you did.
I did not.
Okay, because I don't want you to come back to me like, hey, you're drinking before the pickleball event.
I didn't.
No, I know you didn't.
Yeah.
But I did.
I mean, you did what you had to do.
Yep.
All right. By the way, Big E from the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust says, at Sedano, at Scott Kaplan, they gave out runners in my high school in the mid-90s. Nothing new. That was from our Radio Tinder conversation about condoms.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Did he say runners?
Yeah.
That's the word he used? Runners? Yeah. Not prophylactic?
No. I think he meant to say rubbers.
Oh, rubbers, but he had the NN. Is the N next to the B?
Yeah.
On the keyboard?
Or it could have just been an autocorrect.
Well, that could be true.
Yeah.
He could have put rubbers and it turned into runners.
Yeah. So anyhow, Blake is there. We have been talking nonsense for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And Blake has been sitting. Blake, I'm sorry. Blake Harris, our Dodger insider, baseball insider. Follow him on Twitter at Blake H. Harris, 2 H's, on Twitter. Subscribe to his Substack. The man's doing the Lord's work when it comes to Dodger coverage there and his podcast, Inside the Ravine. All right, so enough of what we've been talking about. James Outman, going to make the roster according to Dave Roberts. Is he starting, in your opinion, or should he?
First off, guys, I always look every week whenever I hop on. You guys are always in some sort of random conversation that is nowhere near about sports, and I always love it. So it's always fun tuning in to hear what you guys are always talking about right before I come on. But
talk baseball.
Yeah,
right. Let's add some baseball in this hour-long talk about anything else. But James Outman, he makes the roster, which is fantastic news. We've been advocating for him all offseason. Now will he be a starter on opening day? That's a great question. That's up to Dave Roberts. If I were to guess, I think it's going to go to some of the veterans. So I don't think he'll be in there next Thursday. But if the Dodgers, see enough these next few days, maybe I think maybe he gets that nod. But I'm just really happy for him that he was able to crack the roster, because there was a part of me that had a little doubt that it would go somewhere else just because he is still so young. But obviously the Dodgers saw what he's done all spring and they want to win. So let the James Outman era begin.
Before you go, Cappy, I just want to update people on what's going on. There's an official review going on in the K-State-Michigan State game. It's 94-92, incredibly high-scoring game in overtime. Michigan State got fouled. It was a loose ball foul when they shot a three-pointer, so they want to make sure official review if it happened before or after he took the shot. But right now, Michigan State trailing by two, and people, I see what they're reviewing. They're reviewing to see whose foul it's on, because a guy ran into a screen. A guy from K-State ran into a Michigan State guy setting a screen. So it's going to be a block or a charge here. And I'm trying to – yep, it looks like it's going to be a block. A block. So it's going to be two shots here for Michigan State to try to tie the game. 42.8 seconds to go in overtime. Go ahead, Cappy.
Blake, are you watching this game? Because if you're not, you just now know every detail as to what's going on. That's like some Kevin Harlan detail right there.
I was going to say, I'm glad that George has given the play-by-play, because I came into the bedroom now. My girlfriend and I were watching the game in the living room. My girlfriend has Kansas State in the championship game for her bracket. So this is a huge game for her. So, yeah, I've been watching, but the second, I got the call, I had to come into the room. But, yeah, if George wants to keep giving play-by-play, hell, we don't have to talk Dodgers. We can talk what happens in these last 30 seconds if you guys even won.
Here we go. We've got, the Michigan State kid missed the second free throw.
94-93. Hold on, Balake. Under 40 seconds to go. Kansas State crossing the timeline here. They're guarding him right at the logo. He gets to the right wing. Now a handoff to the guard there. Out back to the point guard. Almost lost it there on the left wing. He dribbles it back out towards the logo. 25 seconds left. 10 seconds to shoot here. 12-second differential. Ooh. He shoots it from the logo. An air ball, Kansas State.
Ooh.
So Michigan State will have 17.2 seconds to go. Oh, no, they're saying he tipped it? Are they saying that somebody tipped the ball? Oh, they're going to review it. They're going to review to see
these reviews
if
are
somebody
killing the game.
Got a finger on the ball. Because if Michigan State got a finger on the ball, it's going to be Kansas State ball with 4.5 seconds left on the shot clock. Let's look. Here's the replay.
Oh, yeah, he touched it.
Did he touch the ball?
He touched the ball.
I couldn't see there.
He touched the ball.
Yeah?
The Michigan State player touched the ball. By the way, what is this kid from Kansas State doing shooting from half court?
He's their best player.
But from half court?
He's got range. I don't know about that kind of range.
Come on. Steph's not shooting from that far out.
Let me see. Did he
get a hand on touched it?
Yeah. It looked like his finger tipped back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Watch the rotation of the ball right there. See the difference right there? You see that, George? You see how the ball's rotating backward? Then right there, there's a split second.
Yeah.
See, only guys like me with the really trained eye can see that sort of deal.
Yeah. So anyway, they'll review to see if Michigan State touched it, and that's why it was an air ball. If it was, then Kansas State will have the ball with 4.5 seconds left on the shot clock, 17.2 on the game clock.
Right.
While they review that, go ahead. Ask
all right, Balake, do me this favor. You ready?
Yep.
Go through the Dodgers starting pitching. Let's hear you go through
five.
The first five. Yeah, because honestly, beyond Urias and Kershaw, I want to know what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's going to be Julio, Kershaw, 1-2. Then at three, I'm guessing Dustin May. At four, Noah Syndergaard. And at number five, it looks like it's going to be either Ryan Pepiot or Michael Grove. They still haven't made a decision as to who that fifth guy is going to be. If I was a betting man, which I am, I'm going to put money down on Ryan Pepiot to be the number five starter. Now, it should be. I posted an article on this yesterday on the Substack, so if you guys want to go subscribe to that, by all means, do it. It should be Gavin Stone. Gavin Stone is a name the Dodgers fans need to start remembering. This is a guy, he's not going to be in the rotation to start the year, but this is a rookie who I honestly think not only could be a Rookie of the Year candidate if he comes up and has enough starts, he could be a potential Cy Young candidate within the next three seasons. That's how good this guy is. So
wow.
He won't be getting the start next week, but this is the guy, again, Dodgers fan. Remember the name, Gavin Stone. Remember that Blake Harris told you about this on, March 23rd of 2023, while the guys were at Yamava Casino discussing Michigan State, Kansas State basketball.
All right. Well, I mean, we'll hold you to that. That's impressive potential there. Now, let's give you an update. Kansas State will have the ball. Because they have deemed it off Michigan State on a partial block, right? So he tipped the ball on the way up. So it's 94-93. There's 4.7 seconds left on the shot clock, 17.4 on the game clock. So they added 2/10 of a second. And now another timeout on the floor.
Come on, man. Let's go while we're young.
Yeah, so Michigan State has one timeout left. Kansas State has two. Kansas State is in the double bonus. It is Kansas State ball, just so you know. Michigan State will be in the double bonus if there's another foul. Go ahead, Cappy.
All right, so, Blake, you went through the Dodgers' starting rotation. Here's the question now. You feel pretty good about that starting rotation?
Yeah. What do you think?
I feel pretty good about the first two guys in that starting rotation, but outside of that, you know, I think this is something we've talked about this offseason, guys, is that there's the potential for this 1-5 to be pretty solid, but there are so many question marks. I mean, honestly, outside of Julio, I mean, Kershaw, you can question his health. Dustin May, you can question his health. Noah Syndergaard, you can question his health. Obviously, Tony Gonsolin is going to be out for an extended period of time, so you don't know what exactly you're going to get with number five. So if the Dodgers do have a weakness, if there is a reason the Dodgers struggle for the first few months of the season or, you know, don't even win the division, it's probably going to be because of the starting rotation, because not too great, guys. Not too great.
I don't believe what's going on here.
So now, basically they were about to set up again, Kansas State to inbound with 4.7 seconds left on the shot clock, 17.4 on the game clock, and Kansas State now decided to call a timeout.
I mean, I'll quote a friend of mine.
Back-to-back timeouts.
I'll quote a friend of mine who says things when he gets exhausted. He says things like, for the love.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
I mean, listen.
Let's play ball.
You're trying to advance to the Elite Eight, bro. It's not like, I get it. I get it. I get that, you know, you want it to end, but it hasn't ended yet.
Well, I mean, it's not that I want it to end. Right. If anything, I want it to go to double overtime.
So.
Yeah, we're trying some of that, Tony.
Yeah. Keep that there, Tony.
Yeah.
Keep those there. We're good there. So, Blake, then let me ask you this. We were talking earlier about, most of this week, like most people, about the WBC and, you know, Otani and Trout. And I just look at this Angels team. And Cappy, I agree with Cappy. He had this point of maybe they should trade them both at this point. I know that Trout would have to approve it. And I know that the owner said they're not going to trade Otani at the moment. But what do you do if you're the Angels in this spot?
Yeah, first, I think with Mike Trout, I think if he wanted out, he would have asked for out by now, but I actually think he just wants to play out his career there, which props to him if that's the case. If I'm the Angels and you have Shohei Ohtani right now, especially coming off this WBC, I am trading him. I'm putting him on the block. I am saying we are going to accept the highest bidder, and you get him out of there, because I still do not see any possibility that
right,
Shohei re-signs
Blake.
With
time
the
out,
Angels.
Time out, Blake. Oh. Time out. Hold on. So Kansas State on the inbound hit a corner shot, a long two, foot on the line, 96-93. There is how much time left on the on the game clock?
I don't know. What is there, 11 seconds? Can anybody see?
It looked like it was about 10 or 11 seconds left, and Michigan State has taken their last timeout as they're down three. But go ahead, Blake. So Mike Trout would have asked that, but you're saying they need to trade Ohtani because – we said this, I'm curious if you agree, that he's not going to have more value than he has at the current moment.
He had yesterday.
Yeah, you trade him because you could probably get, I know he only has 1 year left on his contract, but you could probably get any sort of package you want because he's the best player in baseball. So, yeah, if I'm the Angels, unless you legitimately believe you can win it all this season, which I just don't think they have the team to do so, you see what teams have to offer. And if you put him on the block and you don't like what teams have to offer you, you don't have to accept it, but what if someone offers you a Juan Soto type of package? then I think you have to accept. So I think the Angels would be stupid if they didn't entertain trading Shohei Ohtani this season.
All right, Blake, before you go, George, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see ESPN, the top 100 players in baseball? Did you see this?
I did not, know.
So then they break it out into the top 10, of course, right? Do you guys realize that between the Dodgers, who have two players, the Padres, who have two players, and the Angels, who have players one and two, Ohtani and Trout, between the three baseball teams in all of the mega market,
they have six of the top 10.
Six of the top 10 players play here in Southern California.
I mean, it's pretty insane when you think about it, right? The dearth of talent that there is here in baseball in general, but in the major league level. All right, we got the final play here, I think. 12.5 seconds to go. Michigan State to inbound in the front court. They get it to the right wing, up top to Hauser. They kick it to the right wing, dribble to the elbow, kick back out to the logo.
Oh,
they try to shoot a three, get stripped. Ball is on the floor. Kansas State is going to get it, and they are going to run this thing out. They throw the layup up. It's going to be good. It's going to count. Kansas State gets the victory, 98-93,
beautiful.
And they are dancing to the Elite Eight in an overtime victory. The three beats the seven in the East Regional at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
That was a terrible finish
beautiful.
By Michigan State, who could not even get a ball, couldn't even get a shot off. Got stripped ultimately, couldn't seem to pass the ball around, couldn't get any kind of movement for a Tom Izzo-led team to come out of a timeout, and that's all you got. Pretty disappointing for Michigan State. And Blake, your girlfriend's bracket is alive.
Yeah.
It's alive and it's looking good. She's got UCLA and Kansas State in that title game. So I told her, I said, I couldn't tell you any people that have Kansas State in their title game. So if the Wildcats continue this run, she might be looking at a pretty hefty payday when it comes to our bracket winnings.
There you go.
All right, so what do you make of the top 10 list, the six of the top 10 being here? Look, the Padres and Dodgers are going to be in this thing, right? But, like, if you're the Angels and you have the two best players, what if you were looking at the Angels, okay, let's say they stay true to word, right? They're not going to trade Ohtani, at least not right now. What is that team lacking in your estimation? Because over the years, they've lacked pitching. Historically in most
right.
recently. Last year, even though they had been a good hitting team in previous years, they lacked timely hitting. They also got struck by the injury bug. So what are they lacking right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say because I definitely think they went and they improved their pitching this offseason. You know, they added old Dodger Tyler Anderson. I think the Angels made a couple of good moves. The problem is it's just there are just other teams in their division and the American League that are so much better than them. Where I do think this is the best Angels team they've had in, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, whenever the last time they made the playoffs was. The only issue is, you know, they're probably the third, maybe even the fourth best team in their division. So I think they're going to be better than they were last year. But anytime you have guys like Trout, it still blows my mind that they have probably, you can make the case, the two best players in all of baseball. And they're still as bad of a team as they are. It just goes to show that baseball is the biggest team sport there is out there, and it doesn't matter what kind of talent you have. You got to have guys 1 through 9 that can contribute.
J-Mart just tweeted in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust, J-Mart 814, Angels will have a better record than the Dodgers this year. Remember this tweet, exclamation point. All right,
yeah.
We'll get to that another time. Blake Harris, our Dodger and baseball insider here on the show. Follow him on Twitter, at Blake H. Harris. Subscribe to his Substack, the Blake Harris Substack. And, of course, Inside the Ravine is the podcast. Blake, we broke the clock, mostly because of Michigan State and Kansas State, but we'll blame you, too. So thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'll take the blame, guys. And make sure you guys tell someone in the community that's there right now to have a beer in my honor.
Oh, that's right.
You got it, bud. All right, thank you. You're listening to KSBN Los Angeles, KRDC Pasadena. We're at Yamava. Sedano and Cap rolls on. One more hour to go here on 710 ESPN.